Every time you walk in this building, can I ask you to do one thing? Can I ask you to say to yourself that God is going to do far more than you could ever hope or imagine? Every time you come in here, God is going to do far more through you and through the church than you could ever conceivably, possibly imagine. Because that's the truth of the God that we love and we worship. And this morning, what I really want to do is, I'm just going to look at Ephesians 3, and we're going to look at what five things that I feel God is saying to us right now. But before we do that, I just think, firstly, Stanley's just there, and Jemima, his lovely wife, is sitting next to her. Stanley, thank you for being here, and thank you, Jemima, for being here. Stanley was going to preach this morning, and I spoke to him, and I said, look, Stanley, would you really mind if I preached instead? It's our first time here. But Stanley just said, yeah, of course. Well, you know, why not? But I also want to say thank you just for that heart and your attitude. And you came, and you were leading another church, and then you sort of like, you came here, and you've come in, and as a couple, you are a mum and dad to people in this church. And I feel God's got an anointing on you to be a mum and dad more, actually, to this church. And you do so many things. But we love you. So I just want to thank you for that. The other thing is that, Manuela, you're more like a mum to Cameron than you might think. Because actually, it's supposed to be the parents' job to embarrass their kids. But I it's supposed to be my job to work really hard to embarrass our children. But I thought you did a good job on that this morning. Yeah. To be fair, you did quite well, I thought. So it's really good. So I know that Cameron is going to University of Nottingham. Francesca Turner is on her way up to St. Mary's College in Twickenham today. Is there anybody else that we know that's... Jake is starting at University of Nottingham as well. Anybody else that we know that's starting at university? Daisy? No. Where is she going? Where is she starting? Okay. Okay, fantastic. So Charlotte, yeah. Rebecca, where's Rebecca going? Plymouth, fantastic. Anybody else? Oh yeah, he's doing year out there. Manchester, let's really pray for him for that. Is there anybody else that's going off to university? Let me just pray, shall I? Father, we want to thank you for all these people that are going off. And I want to ask, Lord, that there'd be this extraordinary adventure, Lord Jesus, of going off. Lord, we so gladly sort of release these young people to go and be your salt and light in these different cities and these different universities and colleges. And we want to pray, Lord, that you'd be with them, that you would bless them. Lord, we want to pray that you'd protect them. But Lord, I want to pray most of all that they would be young men and women that bring your kingdom wherever they go. We pray, fill them with your Holy Spirit right now, O God. We pray that they'd be like missionaries coming out of this church to go into different cities all around the nations. And I pray that many, many cities and universities and colleges and student unions and halls of residence would be blessed because of these young people. We pray now, fill them with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Did you know we often talk about chapters in the life of this church? And we talk about different chapters and how different things have happened at different times. And we had a chapter when, you may not know this, but a chapter when we all moved over to a cinema over in Finchley. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, but we went. Okay, we went. We went over to a cinema in Finchley about 5 years ago. And then about 3 years ago, we came back here. And that started a whole new chapter of who we are meeting together like this. And then I think this morning, however, is probably the turning over the page of probably one of our biggest and brightest new chapters in the life of the church. Because it's extraordinary, I think, what God is going to do. We made a decision, I don't know if you know, probably at the beginning of the year, that we were getting nowhere with this building. We were getting nowhere, and it was this, like, we even had, do you remember the hole in the corner there? Because it was hot, we created our own little air conditioning, okay? It was just so good, and you could stand there and you just look, oh God, I can see the heavens above, you know, like, and it was all just awful. But you know, it was something we thought we weren't getting anywhere with it. And then we just made this decision that we're going to go ahead in any case, because we felt God had said, no, this is your place. You have it, it's yours. And then what we did is we put a porter cabin over there, and we thought, oh, I don't know, can we do this? Yeah, we're gonna do it anyway. So we put a porter cabin over there, and we made it. And then we thought we're gonna have a gift day, and we're gonna try and raise £40,000, and we're gonna have half of it to redo this place, half of it to save, to build, and some of it to give away. And then I think because of that, we raised it, we were praying and fasting, and then on Saturday, the 12th of May, I came in here and met a guy who was going to give us a quote to do a new ceiling. And when I was in here, I then met a guy who was hiring this place, and he said, go and talk to the builders over the road, because they're considerate constructors. And he said, just go in there. So on Tuesday, the 15th of May, I didn't even know where the site entrance was, but I thought, I don't know where it is. I wandered in. And then I felt like it's fish out. Everyone was wearing high-vis jackets and like hard hats, and I don't know where. Anyway, I said, look, who's the site manager? And I went there and I just said, look, we've got this building over here. Would you build us a disabled toilet, please? About an hour and a half later, he came over, the site manager, a guy called Sean, and he looked around here and he said, no. We're not going to do that. We're going to redo the whole building for you. Yeah. Now, I asked for a disabled toilet. That is what I asked for. I got it. But I got so much more. And Manuela was in the office after I spoke with this guy. And I think I probably sat down on the sofa. And it must have been hay fever or something. I don't really know what it was. But a little bit of hay fever just got into my eyes. You know, I think, I'm not sure. But I remember, what? God, what are you doing? And so then I worked it out 117 days later, or 2,808 hours later, here we are. And you just need to know, there's going to be lots more that is going to happen in here. We've been thinking of what do we do with the flooring, and I've been thinking, oh, we need to get vinyl. From the sound, I think we need to put carpeting down, don't we? I think. Well, look, everyone's going, yes.
If anybody drops chewing gum on the carpet.
There's a solution for that.
Yeah. Death. Anyway, so we'll have the cross of Christ up here, but we might put some. No, we won't. Okay, no. That was wrong. I didn't say that. Okay. However, but there's lots more that God is going to do. So, and in the light of everything, by the way, the toilets are through there. There's a disabled toilet through there. It's not finished. So don't use that toilet, because there's no water connected to it. Okay, so don't. There are two toilets through there that are being used, and there's lots of other things. There's lots of things that they're going to do outside. They're going to build a road for us past the cabin into the corner, and then we're going to have a food bank warehouse in the corner there with some porter cabins. But they're just going to do that for it, and they're going to concrete all around the outside of the building. But there's a lot to do. But what is it that God is saying to us right now? And I just wonder if there was a special chair over there in the corner and God was sitting on that, and then we said to him, I tell you what, God, like this morning, why don't you ever go? You come and preach. Come on, what is it you would want to say to us this morning? I know it's a little bit presumptuous to say that, but I want to just say what I think, five things that God would say to us this morning. But let's read Ephesians. If you've got your Bibles, or look it up, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3. when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave me special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. And as you read what I've written to you, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he's revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan, that both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. And by God's grace and his mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And though I'm the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me this privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into his presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you so that you should feel honored. And when I think of all of this, this is what I do. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, and your roots will go down into God's love, and it will keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, with all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. And then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What is the first thing that I think if God was preaching, what he'd say to us this morning? I think he would say this. Just well done for keep going. Well done for keeping going. Well done that you never thought that you're going to be defined by some old building. Just well done for keeping going. Well done, Chris, for just keeping going and speak. The thing that I love most of all is when Chris stood up and said, look, I just felt God said something and I need to be obedient. What more could we want in a church than when God says something to us and thought, okay, we've got to be obedient to that. That's the most exciting thing that we could possibly ever hear. And do you know what? Paul, when he wrote this, when he said, I am a prisoner for Christ, he wasn't using some metaphor. He wasn't saying, yes, metaphorically, I am feeling chained up. No, he was banged up in prison. He was in prison. He was suffering. He was in this like smelly, slimy pit. And it would have been really easy for Paul to start moping around and thinking, oh, I've just got to eat prison food again. I've got to sleep. It's horrible. I'm getting bitten by cock. He didn't start moping around, but he just pressed it. And then he said to these people in Ephesus, he said, look, don't worry about mine. Don't worry the things that I'm suffering for. Just keep going. Keep pressing on. Don't lose heart because I am not going to. And when the Bible says be patient and keep going, guess what that is? Because there's quite a lot of times when we're tempted to jack it all in. He wouldn't say that unless there was a pressure to say, well, to be honest, I've had enough now. I'm done. Fed up. I can't keep going like this. The Bible wouldn't say keep going unless there was that pressure that we were under. I just need to let you know, how long have we battled for this building? How long have we prayed for this building? How many years have we battled and felt we were just banging our heads against the brick wall? And God, come on, God, you said, and yet nothing happens. And I just, there'd been so many times I thought, oh God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to get breakthrough, but we're just going to carry on worshiping. Now, by the way, you know, when new people come and join this, and we'll be thinking, oh, do you like our new building? Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it great? Let me tell you what the people who come and join us, they're going to say, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're going to say to you is, yeah, it's quite small, and I'm not sure about Magnolia. Magnolia, it's a bit old hat, isn't it? They're going to say that, and you're going to think, you're not going to punch them, but we're not going to do that, okay? We're not going to do that. But they won't understand that. They won't understand. Well, you can if you want to. Maria, you are allowed to punch people, okay? So. But we've been on this journey, haven't we? We've been on this journey when it's been cold and then it's been really hot. But we've been on a journey. But I think God would say to us, well done for keeping going. And the thing is, so we've had a refurbishment, and then we think, but we still don't have a lease. And then, as you know, I met with a council, and Chris and I met with the council, the head of the council, and he said, yeah, I'll give you a lease, and it will outlast long if you anything. Oh, okay, great, but you better follow it up, you know, because they've said things before. Well, I just need to let you know, this is the email that I had on the 24th of August, and it says this: Dear Duncan, I have been passed your details by the head of estates, Chris Smith, regarding your occupation on Graham Parkway. I understand that we have a mutual need and wish to regularise your occupation via a lease. So please can let me know a good time for me to come and meet with you so that we can progress the documentation as soon as possible. Many thanks, Melanie Chicknagy. I just ask you to pray. Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I'm meeting Melanie Chicknagy in here. And we're not, I don't know how long a lease we're gonna get. 50 years. Let's have an auction. What do we feel God is saying? I don't know. But I know, okay, well, okay, stop. We could go on for a long time, okay? We could go on for a long time. But I don't know, but there are sometimes you think, no, God says that it's well done for keeping going. And I need to ask you, what are the situations in your own life where you're thinking, God, why am I banging my head against the brick wall? Why do I just, I'm not seeing the breakthrough that I think you promised. Well, I think God says, no, just keep going. Keep worshipping me. Keep reading your Bible. Keep speaking words of faith into your lives and other people's lives. Keep being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. And I think God would just say to us, no, well done for keeping going. Can I just say, if you are longing for a breakthrough in your area, in some area of your life, how are you going to get it? By worshipping him. You must just keep worshipping him. Number two, the second thing that I think God would say to us is this. He would say, I am the great includer. And I want you to be an includer as well. Does anybody know Strength Finder tests? If anyone knows Strength Finder, if God did a Strength Finder test, obviously he'd be perfect in every area, but I think he would be a great includer. Because these verses here that says this mystery is that the Gentiles, non-Jewish people like ourselves, are now fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promises of Jesus Christ. Do you know, this must have been an extraordinary revelation for Paul. We don't realize how massive it was, because for years, the Jews had been God's chosen people. For years, they had been the people that God chose. And then Jesus says this, go out and make disciples of who? All nations. All nations. Suddenly, Paul has this revelation. No, it's not just about, it's about everybody being included. It's about inviting everybody to make a response to Jesus Christ. It's not dependent any longer on what you look like, on where you were born, on who your parents are, on where you went to school or where you were brought up. It's dependent on this. How you respond to Jesus Christ. That's it. Because God wants to include people into what his great plan is. Jesus was always the one that went after outcasts. All the time he went after outcasts. People on the margins. He wanted to draw them in. And I feel God is saying something about this building to us, about being the includer. I don't know how it's going to work, but this building is not just for us. Did you know that? It's not just for us. Now, I think God has given it to us, and we need to steward it, and we need to look after it, and we need to use it to the maximum ability, and there'll be times when we'll need to guard it, and we'll need to do all this, but actually he has not given it just for us. The promises and the blessings of Christ are for all people, and we need to do whatever we can to include people, and to make people feel that they understand something of the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't know when we'll get the flooring done. I hope sometime soon. Raddy, could you do it for us? But you know, I did hear about this story of a church where they had a carpet, and I think I might have mentioned this before, and somebody went in and they pulled back the corner of the carpet, and underneath it there were written all these names. And the person who saw it just assumed that it was the people that had paid for the building and the people had dipped into their pockets. You know, and those are the people, sort of like the patrons of the building, and then they could see it. And then they said, no. They pulled it back, and it was the names of the people that they were praying to be saved. That's what we want. And you think, I wonder if we could do that here. I think, could we pull back a little bit of the carpet and then have all the... I've got neighbours that I know and friends of mine that I think are close to Christ. And I think, oh, can we just write them down in there? And then we think, those are the people, because that is what this building, it's not just for us to make us feel nice and comfortable. It's that the good news of Jesus would go out to the world. Amen. To be good news to our community, to serve our community in any way that we possibly can. Who does God want you to include? Who does God want you to reach out to? The third thing that I feel God is saying to us this. I feel God is just saying, I love it when you come and ask me for stuff. I love it. Last term we did these 40 days of prayer. And how many times did we hear, ask and you'll receive? Until now you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Do not stop praying. Pray unceasingly. And I felt there is something about when these verses that I really, really love it. It says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And I just think I have learned what it is to come boldly and confidently into the presence of God. And what is it that God is saying to you? Now, please, come into my confidence boldly and confidently and ask for stuff. I just need to let you know, this is an extraordinary answer to prayer. I've never seen anything like this. But I need to know, one of my most exciting answers to prayer in the last couple of months is when God said no. Very clearly. I was asking for something that I thought would be really, really helpful. And I thought, oh, that would be fantastic. And God so engineered it in a way that I knew... I think I mentioned it before. I was praying for a new car. And I was praying for a very specific car. And I thought, because the old car was getting older, and I thought, I'm going to pray for it. And then I met somebody who had exactly the car that was quite old, about 10 years old, but no mileage, few owners, exactly the car. And I met him in a car park and I said, you're not interested in selling your car, are you? And he said, oh, I am actually, because we've got two cars, we never use this. We only use it about once a year. I thought, God, you're answering our prayer. This is amazing. I can ask you for anything. And then, I spoke to the guy and texted, met him at a garden centre, and I texted him a few times, and then a few days later he said, nah, I'm not going to sell it actually, sorry if you don't mind. And I felt God say to me, I heard your prayer, and I'm saying no. And that was almost more exciting because I thought, I don't want just God's yes to everything. I want an answer to prayer. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want to see what you, I want what you want for my life, not what I want. It was so exciting. And yet this, then God suddenly pours his blessing on for this. And I think God says, now come to me. Ask me for stuff. Let me decide what is right and wrong for you. Just come and ask me, please. All I did was I walked over there and asked for a disabled toilet. To be honest, all they had to do was put one of those little barriers that come down. And I thought, well, I suppose that's an answer to prayer. But God said, no, I'm going to do far more. Because it's about what I want for your glory. It's what I want. It's just great. Come. What is it that God is saying to you? Get on your knees and ask me about. And I think God is coming back to you again and saying, no, please. I am the God who wants to answer your prayer. I love to listen to you. Now, please, come and ask me. Come and talk with me. If you want to know my plan for your life, well, come and ask me. Ask me. And I might say yes, and I might say no, and I might say maybe, and I might say wait. But I will hear your prayer, and I will answer you. The fourth thing that I think God is saying to us is this. God would say, when you worship, I bless. These verses here. Paul says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Okay, so what I want to do is, just very briefly, if I had a flip chart here, it would be really interesting to think, what is the exchange that is going on in these verses? What is it that God is, that Paul is saying to us, we need to do, and then what is it that God says that he will do as a result. So on the list of things that we should do, verse 14, what we need to do is we need to fall on our knees and pray. And fall on our knees, I'd say, is worship. That's what we need to do, fall on our knees and worship. That's on our little list. Me, us, fall on our knees, worship. On this side of the list, this is what God says he'll do. When we worship, he does this. From his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with strength in your inner spirit. That's quite good. So I'd say that's a fair deal, isn't it? We worship, he empowers us in our inner being with strength. Oh, wait a minute, sorry, there's another bit here. When we worship, he says he'll also do this. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Okay, so that's not bad. So we worship him, and he's going to fill us with power, and then he's going to come and live within us. Get my glasses. Oh, there's another bit here as well. And then it says here, then as you, it says your roots will go down deep into God's love and he will keep you strong. All we're doing is this, we just worship. He says this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And there's even more. And then it says this, you will understand with all God's people how high, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. Okay, so that's not bad. So we've got all of these things here. All we have to do is just worship him. And then he's going to do this, and this, and this, and this. And then verse 19, he says, not only will you understand how much God loves you, you will also experience it. You will experience the love of God. You'll be able to wake up in the morning and know that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life. And then it says this, you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. We've never been a church that's defined by a building, because it wasn't particularly nice. But we always said this, that we would be a church that's defined by our ability to worship and love God. And you just need to know that as we worship, breakthrough happens. And if you're longing and praying for work, for breakthrough in some areas, learn what it is to be a worshiper. Learn to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind. Just the other day, Eddie, you were on PA outside, and the PA desk was out there. Do you know, I texted Eddie about it, but I loved it. As he was doing PA, instead of just fiddling around, he was worshiping. And I love it. So I thought, yeah, you can do this, and you can worship at the same time. Sorry, yeah, sorry. And do you know what, I don't actually mind if the PA goes wonky for a moment because somebody's caught up in worship, I would rather that than have a professional worship person who gets everything absolutely right, but actually they're doing something else. A worshipping heart is, it's the breakthrough area. It breaks through every area. So the last thing, and then I tell you, I'm going to do the last thing, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the kids to come in, and let's just hope the kids have got clean hands. Not figuratively, literally. Yeah, because in a moment, what I'm going to do is I want to get the kids in, and I want all of us to lay hands on this building, and we're going to pray for it. And we're going to pray that we're going to literally, if we have hand marks all around, I don't care, we'll just repaint it, okay? But we're going to lay hands on this building, okay? We're going to lay hands on this building and say that this is something for God's glory. The last point is this, that God would say to us, God is going to do infinitely more through you than you could ever possibly imagine. Imagine what would happen if you started... Sorry, Jill's phone is just on a...
The Bible was reading out.
Oh, okay, fine. That's fine.
How that happened?
That's fine.
You could do it.
Imagine what would happen if you started to think about yourself as God thinks about you. Imagine what would happen. Imagine if you started to think, oh no, God's anointing is on me, because God is anointing. If God's called you for a purpose, imagine if you started to think as God thinks about you. God wants to do far, far more through you than you could possibly. God wants to do far more through this church than you could ever possibly imagine. I at the moment, I'm trying to be courageous to think, no, God at the moment now is going to plant, encourage, and grow, plant, and encourage churches throughout North London through this church. And I have to be courageous now to think that is what God wants us to do. But we are going to step into it because God wants to do far, far more than you could ever possibly imagine. I have never heard or seen of a situation as has happened with this building. And actually, genuinely, if somebody knows of a situation like that, I'd be really interested to know. The church where we used to be part of in Wimbledon, they had this magnificent old building, Gothic-type Baptist church, and then the council did a compulsory purchase order, and they bought it, and then they built the church. They built a brand-new church. But do you know what? They swapped a building that was worth an awful lot of money for a building that was worth another awful lot of money. I have not, and I would be really interested to know. Do we know of another situation where this sort of thing has happened? One question, and then this extraordinary amount of blessing and favor has happened. I don't know. I do know that now there will be plenty of other churches that are going to see it happen as well. Because I'm going to tell every single church in the government that I know. Just walk into that building site and go and ask them. But you need to know, God is going to do far more through you than you could ever possibly imagine. Sometimes you may not even believe it, but you have to start acting what you think is true. This land does not belong to us. But do you know what? We started acting as if it was. And we put something over there, and we put something over there, and we spoke to them over there. We started, and sometimes, do you know what? You may not even necessarily believe it, but you have to start acting as if it is true, because that you're acting in faith of what God has said over you. Imagine if you thought that you were the most effective evangelist you knew, and you started thinking like it, and then you started acting like it. I wonder what would happen. God is going to do far more through this place than we could hope or imagine. If you're a parent of a Christ child, just hold them where they are, and we're going to place our hands on the wall, and we're going to pray for this building. Is that okay? Could we have the band back up? Can I just say, Christina Spybe, bless her, has just suggested we put paint on our hands and put them on the walls. Did you suggest that as well? Yeah. Yeah. let's stand, shall we?